You got to get passionate about this thing. If the cross doesn't move you, nothing will move you.
I'm offering you something that's greater than silver and gold. I'm offering you something that's greater than an increase in your pay on your job. I'm offering you a...
There's no shortcuts to the glory.
We've got to get past week-to-week living. We've got to multiply our prayer life. We've got to multiply our effort.
And we are willing to give. God will always give it back to us in good measure, that is pressed down, shaken together, and running over.
Hey, thanks for checking out our Christian Life Church podcast. You will be hearing from one of our pastors or guest speakers, either at our Frankfort or Lebanon campus. Prepare your hearts and your minds to receive a word from God. Thanks for listening. Enjoy and receive this message.
To the Lord and give God praise. Lord, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Come on, let's really love him for a moment. We glorify you, God. You've been good to me, Lord. You've seen me through, God. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't the Lord good? Isn't the Lord good? Now, I don't need you to validate me this morning, but here's what I do need. I need us to praise the Lord. We praise him in his sanctuary. We praise him in the firmament of his power. I believe it even says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. I've got breath this morning. Could we one more time just give a hand clap of praise unto God? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You may make your way back to your seats, and we'll get into the Word of God in just a moment. Happy birthday to my mother, whose birthday is Tuesday, and to my grandmother, whose birthday was yesterday. Both, just imagine this, both turning 30 at the same time. Amen. Amen. Of course, my sister-in-law earlier in the week, turning 25, and that one's literal. We had a good time last night going out to dinner. I missed my wife today. She was able to go to the Urshan Live recording in St. Louis, and I was coming into Frankfort as she was getting back into Cincinnati late last night, and I love her, and I know she'll be watching online. And, of course, I give honor to my father today, who is in, you said Columbia, Tennessee. That felt like an oxymoron, Columbia and Tennessee. You said Columbia, you caught me off guard for a moment, but he is in Columbia, Tennessee, ministering at a great church, and we wish him well travels, and it's good to be with you today. Amen. The Lord's so good, and I love coming home to CLC. Paul and Phil, y'all are leaving. I don't know how to feel about that, but is it today is your last day here at CLC before you move? And we're going to pray for you today. As we, toward the end of service, I'd like some to gather around them. We're going to pray for you. And what a day to leave on when Roland is being baptized in Jesus' name. That's exciting. And we're thrilled for that. We love you. Amen. Amen. Go with me in your Bibles to Psalms, the 56th chapter. Psalms, the 56th chapter. Merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would swallow me up, for they are many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, he's not asking what time, he's saying in the moment that I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. In God, now this is an interesting phrase, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they They rest my words. That literally means to wrestle, to twist his words. They rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Verse 7, shall they escape by iniquity in thine anger? Cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto you, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know. For God is for me. Just say that today. That'll encourage you. For God is for me. In God, it says it again, will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Sit your Bible down, lift your hands to the Lord, and let's ask God to speak to us today. Lord, thank you that we can be gathered into your house. Thank you for your presence that is here. Thank you for the freedom we have to worship. Thank you for this wonderful house of God and these people, Lord, that for many generations have worked to establish this house. Thank you for this beacon of light that this is for in this region. Today, Lord, we come before you, each of us needing to receive from you your word, and we ask you to speak to us. Strengthen every life. Speak to every home and family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated today. I'm preaching today about an old sword for a new enemy. An old sword for a new enemy. In Psalms, the 56th chapter, these are some interesting phrases that David uses. It's certainly not unusual for David, although there are some statements in here, some of those that I emphasized and some that I didn't, that are really unique to the situation. For one, we know that David calls attention to the promises of God over his life. When we say today, we thank him for his word, we have the luxury of a bound Old and New Testament that's a completed work. And so when we say we're thankful for his word, we really do have something great to be thankful for. Certainly David had something to be thankful for, but in David's case, it was different. David had a few prophets to reference. David had some writings of the law to reference. He had oral spoken prophecies that had been spoken over his life, traditions that had been passed down from generation to generation. And in this moment where David is addressing fear, in the time that he is afraid, he's turning his attention to the Lord and he's responding by praising the word. That sounds unfamiliar to us, because when we use the word praise today, we would say we only give our praise unto the Lord. And when David is praising the promise of God, what David is doing is he's lifting up the promises of God above everything else that's happening in this setting and in the situation. So he's praising the word through the Lord. And in these moments of great fear and great despair, he's remembering the promises of God. Now, when I read this today, I know that I'm not reading about myself. I'm not David in the story. The people I like are not Goliath in the story. The people I don't like are not Goliath in the story. And so I'm not reading myself into the story today. But what I am reading is I'm reading an example of what to do when fear rises up in our lives. And when we find ourselves in situations that cause us to fear, where we don't know where to turn, That's a moment to lift up the word of God. Here in Psalms, the 56th chapter, David would have likely, as he said this, been remembering what occurred in 1 Samuel 16. I won't read it today, but this is where Samuel anoints young David as a child to one day be king. I'm sure in this moment, David didn't feel like king. He had just freshly run from Saul's presence. He was fleeing persecution. He was in a strange place. He was rendered with fear. And we even know, because of the superscription given at the beginning of the text, and your Bible may or may not have it, but in those original writings, it actually tells us when the Philistines seize David at Gath. And so we know exactly where David was before the psalm ever begins, that this is a psalm that is written out of the story and the setting of the Philistines seizing David at Gath. I'll take you to 1 Samuel, the 20th chapter and verse 8. And this is the moment that this psalm is referencing. This is the prayer that's being prayed by David, maybe in that moment, maybe just after this moment, maybe just in reference to this moment. But 1 Samuel 20 and verse 8, and David said to Ahimelech, and is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? He's presented himself to the priest. He's fleeing persecution. And he asks the priest, is there a sword or a spear that I can have? The priest didn't know exactly what was going on, but David had just fled the presence of Saul, and he was weaponless. And he said this, I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. He wasn't even necessarily telling the priest exactly what was happening. And this priest who favored David, he must have gone into the corner somewhere, and there in the corner there was a linen ephod, and wrapped in that ephod was a sword, and it was the only sword that the priest had for David to use, but it was a familiar sword to David. He unwrapped the sword, and he presents it to David, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah. And he tells David, if you'll take it, take it. There's no other sword or spear here. And David said, no, there's none like that sword. Give that sword to me. And so then David, he flees. He knows he's got to get out of the city. And he begins to flee the persecution that he knew was present and was coming. And in the next chapter, we find in verse 11 that when he gets to Achish, the king, in the city of Gath, that he assumes that in Gath he would be able to take refuge, that he would be able to protect himself and somehow blend in. And maybe by going there first, it was very near to his city. By going there, maybe he would protect himself from the wrath that was going to come upon him by Saul. And so he gets there, and under his arm is that very familiar sword. That sword that as a young boy he used to... He used to cut off the head of Goliath. That sword. A sword that it was very much a testimony of what God had done for him and God had done for his people. And so arriving in Gath, hoping not to be recognized, he must have forgotten the sword that he was carrying. Gath was a city of the Philistines. And so here in this Philistine city, he has the very sword that he defeated perhaps the greatest, most powerful Philistine that we ever read about. This was the original city of Goliath. This would have been the city of Goliath's kindred, of his brothers and of his family. And immediately the servants of Achish, they recognize David. Maybe they recognized him by face. I don't know. Maybe they recognized him by the sword that he was carrying. But they said unto him, is not this David the king of the land? Did not they sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? This sword brought to mind the story of David, this David that had taken the life through the hand of the Lord, their great giant Goliath. And when these words are said, David laid up these words in his heart, the 12th verse says. These words, they hit him deeply. He remembered that being in that situation facing a great giant, Goliath, and he remembered what it felt like to defeat Goliath. He remembered what it felt like when those that were there began to sing throughout the city that Saul had slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. These words settled deeply in David's heart, but David's cover was blown. He was in a Philistine city, and they knew exactly who he was, and he was fearful, and he was in a very weak point, and he was probably afraid that out of the corner somewhere, one of Goliath's brothers or sisters were going to come walking around. And remember David and remember exactly what David was known for. And so in this moment, it says he was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them. He feigned himself mad in their hands, scrambled on the doors of the gate, let spittle fall down upon his beard. He was trying in this moment. It's really clever on David's part. He realized they knew exactly who he was. He was in danger from Saul. Now he was in danger of Philistines that would have had a chip on their shoulder, remembering what it was that David had done. And so I'm sure I would have done something similar. He began to act like a crazy man. He said, if they remember who I am, at least I'll show them I'm no longer a threat. And so he's got spit coming down his beard, and he walks up against the wall and the gate, and he's acting like a crazy man, and he's hitting the gate and clawing at it, and you know, this was a clever response from David. And what happened was they present him before Achish, and he says this. Achish says, ye see the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Why this is a madman. Why have you brought a madman to me? Have I need of madmen that ye have brought his fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? You've insulted me. You brought this madman to me. Surely this isn't David. David was a great, at this point, a living legend. David, this young man of faith that by the might and hand of God had slew a Philistine, a great Philistine. You've brought this madman to me, and yeah, I'm sure this is David. This is the David they speak of. You've brought me a madman. You've insulted me. Take this man from my presence. And this is where the 22nd chapter begins. David therefore departed hence. He escapes to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren in his father's house heard it, they went down hither to him. This original verse that we had read in Psalms, the 57th chapter, is a prayer that is superscribed to this moment. This moment that David has just recently fled the presence of Saul. He's run into a Philistine city. He's been recognized by the sword of Goliath. He's attempted to act like a madman, to somehow flee the fear that he was feeling in that moment. And it works. And he runs out of Gath as quickly as he can. And he comes unto a cave. And I'd just like to think it was in this cave that he wrote this psalm. We really don't know at what point he wrote this psalm. But when I revisit the psalm, he talks about being gripped by this fear. He talks about being surrounded by his enemies. But then there's a shift in Psalms, the 56th chapter, in verse 9. I just imagine that sitting in that cave, reflecting on what had just occurred, and probably I'm sure that was a very humbling moment. The great prophesied king, this young boy wasn't yet king. This hadn't yet come to fruition, but they said he was king. And this moment, he's fleeing from the king. Certainly didn't feel like he was the king. He's acting like a madman in Gath, with spit drooling down his beard, clawing at the wall and the gate, pretending to be a madman. That had to be a humbling moment for David. I'm supposed to be the king. This was prophesied over me by the prophet Samuel. The Lord has had a plan for me from a very young age, and here I've just fled Gath, that city of that great giant. The Lord delivered me from the hand of that giant. The Lord gave me what I needed to slew that giant, and I took that sword and I cut his head off, and I took it back to the city to show them what the Lord had done. And here I am now, where I've fled that very same city of Gath, that city of Goliath, and acted like a madman. And somewhere in Psalms, the 56th chapter, as he's talking about this fear, and as he's talking about being surrounded, I like to think that he just glimpses down at that sword. I don't know if that's what happens. I know the sword was with him. And there's a shift in the chapter in verse 9. He's still crying unto the Lord, but this time he says this. He says, "When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. For this I know." I've already been through something like this before. I've already experienced this before. I don't know a lot right now. I don't know. I didn't expect Saul to be pursuing me. I didn't expect to be in a cave questioning where I'm at in the purpose of God. But where I'm at, there's one thing that I do know. For God is for me. In verse 10, "In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word." I don't know a lot right now, but I'm going to praise this word. I'm going to elevate this thing above every other thing, that God is for me. This I do know. I'm not comparing our lives to the life of David, but what I am telling you today is there comes moments in your life where the devil, that accuser of the brethren, will have you convinced of all sorts of things. That you're surrounded, that you're too far into sin to be delivered, that God's not there for you, that he doesn't care about you. And in those moments when we're so gripped by fear and when we're so surrounded, we've got to look back to that sword. Of course, we know that our sword is the word of God.
It's a sword that has slain many giants. It's a sword that has kept God's people from the very beginning. We've got to remember that God has a plan for his people. He's not going to leave us nor forsake us. He's not going to leave his seed begging bread. And in the moments when there's a lot that we don't know, and I know there's many of us in this church today that we could testify, we've been in some moments in our life, there's a lot we don't know. There's a lot we don't understand. There's a lot of pain and heartache and difficulty that's difficult for us to process. But in that moment that I don't know, I've got to remind myself of what I do know. And David knew this. He knew that God was for him. And he glorified God in those words. In those words that he could rest assured of. He said, in God have I put my trust. I will not, he revisits the fear that he had just spoke of being so afraid. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me. God, your promises, the promises over the life of David, over David's kingship, thou vows are upon me. And he says, oh God, I will render praises unto thee. Perhaps in this moment, having just fled Gath, having just felt so much fear in that city of Goliath and Goliath's kindred, he had to look back and he had to remember what Samuel had prophesied long ago. And he had to remember the way that God had delivered him from a lion and a bear and that great Philistine. And he had to recall that sword that he had fled with and what God had done through the hand of that sword. He had to remember what God had done. And that's at the point his prayer changes to what he does know. The next chapter begins differently. He's not in as much despair as he was in the 56th chapter, in the very beginning of the chapter. Something has shifted in the prayer of David. And he says this, he says, my heart is fixed, O God. I'm not going to allow my heart in this moment to be moved. I'm not going to give my heart unto fear. My heart is fixed, O God. I will sing and give praises. And I love the way he says this in the 8th verse. Having just been gripped by fear, having just been so worried for his life, having just fled from the city of Gath, he says, awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great under the heavens and thy truth under the clouds. He's recalled what God had done for him. And in this moment that so much is uncertain and so much about what is to come is unknown, he's remembered that sword and he's remembered the delivering hand of God. And in this moment, David looks around and he shakes himself. He shakes himself when he doesn't know a lot of what he does know, and he reminds himself that God is for him. He's not going to sit around in fear and fret and worry and sorrow, but he awakes himself. Awake, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I'm going to praise God in the midst of the nations. Whether in Gath or in the city of God, I'm going to praise you. Whether in the cave, I'm still going to praise you. I'm still going to trust his words. I remember words that were ingrained in me as a young boy, some that were the direct words of God that we read in the Word of God, and some that were songs that were developed out of the Word of God. When I think of David reflecting on this, I do know, I can't help but remember the song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. I just got to say it three times. For the Bible tells me so. I know there's been moments in my life. I'm 25 years old. That was a Sunday school song. Sister Brenda, are you here somewhere? I was looking around for Sister Brenda. She probably taught me that song. But there's moments in my life at 25 years old that accuser of the brethren, that devil, will have me feeling unloved and unworthy and unable to please God. But in that moment, I've got to remind myself of what I do know. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Yes, I'm weak in this moment, but in this moment, He's strong. So yes, Jesus loves me. He really, really loves me. I feel worthless. I don't feel like He can love me. I don't feel like I deserve the love of God. But the Bible tells me that He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. How long has it been that you've just reminded yourself that God of all creation, He loves you? Gripped by fear, worried about the future, worried about this strange city and nation that surrounds us, I've just got to shake myself and shake my harp and awake to praise and say, no, Lord, in the midst of what I don't know, I remember what I do know. When I'm dealing with things that I can't see, I can remind myself of scriptures like Colossians 1 and 16, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. So when I'm dealing with what I do see and what I don't see, I can just remember that God created all things. God is in control of all things. God can orchestrate all things. When I reflect on the promises and covenant of God for His people, I can remember Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter and verse 31, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto him. I can think of scriptures that were prophesied over God's people, like Isaiah 54 and verse 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Hey, we've got a great heritage in the Lord. We've got a great heritage in the Word of God. You might be a first-generation believer. This could be your first time at church today. But when you've been born of this body, we have a great cloud of witnesses. The Apostle Paul, yeah, that's by the Spirit of the Lord. That's my long-lost cousin. And if God could do it for the Apostle Paul, if God could take care of the Apostle Paul, God can take care of me. I don't need a book of lineage to understand that. I just have to understand that I've been baptized into a new body. I've had a new name that's been placed on my life. And those people are my people, and their God is my God. And if their God took care of them, I know that my God will take care of me. I remember verses like Isaiah 59:19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. That might have been true for God's people in battle, but I want you to know that that's still true for God's people in battle. When I'm struggling with peace, I can remind myself of Isaiah 53 and verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes, this guy right here, I am healed. I can rest assured in those words of the Lord. when I'm unsure of where to begin, where to even start to work out a situation, I can remember things like Pastor Lytle said today, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added. All of these things, understand this today. David takes that sword under his arm. It was a sword he was familiar with. It was a sword that had taken the life of Goliath. It was a sword that, or rather, had cut off the head of Goliath. It was a sword that was a testimony of what God had done. I want you to know today that we too have a very similar sword. We have the Word of God. It's a sword that's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's a sword full of the testimonies of what God has done for his people. And so when I'm gripped by fear, and when I'm gripped by worry, and when I don't know whether or not God is there for me, I can remember the sword that I've got and what that sword says and what he did for those people, and that God is my God. I didn't want to walk through the building today and walk up to the front and have some guest hear or see me walking across the front with a sword. We're weird. We're just not that weird. But this picture of the Word of God as a sword. And David's carrying that sword in this moment that he's gripped by so much fear. But then there comes that moment that he just has to remember what he's carrying and the God that did those things. The God, it wasn't David that was so powerful to fight a lion and a bear. It wasn't the hand of David alone that was able to kill that giant Goliath. It was the God of David. It was the God that created Goliath. It was the God that created the lion and the bear. That God was David's God. And so David remembered what he had a hold of. That in this moment, he knows very little. He looks back to the giant and the lion and the bear and the other battles that God had won through the hand of David. And he looks back to those and remembers, I remember what God did for me. Hey, when I'm going through my daily life and I've got the enemy whispering all kinds of lies in my ear, I've got to grab a hold of the Word of God. When I'm concerned about what's going on in this world, I've got to remember that heaven and earth shall pass away, but the words shall never pass away. I've got to remember that the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. I've got to remember words like the writers of Hebrew, where the Lord had said, I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. I've got to remember when I feel like I can't finish the race, that I'm not the one that has to finish the race. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Even when I struggle with my faith, even when I struggle to believe, I can give that to the Lord and say, God, help thou my unbelief. You're the one that originated my faith, and you're the one that is capable to finish my faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of God. If he endured the cross, and he despised the shame, and he was lifted up to be with God, then I know through the enablement of his Spirit that I can endure my cross, that in the middle of the shame that I feel, that I can despise that shame and he can still bring me to the presence of God. We've got a sword. We've got a powerful sword. We've got a testimony of God's word. So some here today, you've got a testimony of what God did for your parents or your grandparents or your great-grandparents. I had the chance to be in Barberton, Ohio last week, and I was with our Paymer family. Some of you know our Paymer family. And I was so encouraged when I left there. I was encouraged being reminded of the hand of God that when my great-great-grandmother, when her brother was walking to work And he'd go by an apostolic church every day, and he'd hear the music and he'd hear the preaching, that one day he stopped in. And when he stopped in, the same Holy Ghost that I feel today and the same Holy Ghost that can fill my life is the very same Holy Ghost that he experienced then. And so in moments that I'm dealing with the lies of the enemy, I've got to remind myself both of God's word and of the heritage of the Lord that has gone before me. Not even just my heritage, the heritage of the Lord. Did you know today that your heritage is the heritage of the Lord? Your heritage is that of David's killing Goliath. Your heritage are these great men of old that were delivered out of the hands of their enemy. That's your heritage today. And who are we to think that God could deliver them from the lion, deliver him from the bear, and deliver him from the giant? But God doesn't know where I'm at, and God doesn't know what I'm facing. I want you to know that God knows exactly where you're at. God knows exactly what you're facing. And that same God that was there for them is the same God that is here for me. He's the same God that can keep me. He's the same God that can forgive me of my sins. He's the same God that can deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. He's the same God that can make sure that if I'm submitted to him, he's going to take me into eternity, even when I don't feel like I'm capable of doing it by my own will. That's the same God. When you're reading the word of God, you're reaching back to swords that killed some giants in the past. You're reading back into words and promises of God over his people. Now, I'm not talking about open up the word of God and assume the exact promise of David. David's going to be king, so therefore I'm going to be king. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about today. But here's what I am talking about. I'm talking about the fact that from Genesis to Revelation, we know this. We know that God is forever. We know that God is unmoved. We know that God has a plan for us. We know that God will keep us. We know that God will preserve us. I'm not talking about being king today. I'm talking about that same God that kept David for his purpose can keep me for his purpose. I want you to stand across me all over this room. I know there's people in this place, you're facing all sorts of things. Some that are facing situations that are very unclear, that are very difficult to understand. But I want you to shake yourself today and remind yourself of what you do know. I can think of moments as a kid walking into a scary house because no one else was home, opening the door, all the lights were off. And those moments feeling gripped by such a childlike fear. Maybe there'd be somebody around the corner ready to snag me. And I remember going in, and it'd be one of two things. It would either be me walking in, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He will not leave me nor forsake me. I started quoting words like that. That was as a child. Hey, there's moments in my life at 25 that in the midst of figuring life out and figuring money out and figuring this economy out, I've got to remind myself of things like that I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor is seed begging bread. I think of times walking into the house that maybe it wasn't a scripture, but maybe it was a song that we sing. You know, nobody can get you when you're singing every praise. It's not possible. Because if I walk into the house and I'm singing, every praise is to our God, every word of worship in one accord, and my child like mine, that just meant that whoever was hiding around the corner, they really couldn't do anything because I was singing every praise is to our God. Hey, that might have been childlike, but I've got to remind myself today to grab hold of the word of God. I can call on him. I can talk to him. I can stand on his word. The story isn't quite with me today, but I remember the story of a pastor's wife that had recently been diagnosed with cancer at the time of this story. And her husband had walked in to the room and saw her standing there, standing on her Bible. He thought, what in the world? She's lost it.
this is it. She can't handle this diagnosis. Her mind's gone. He walks in and he says, "What on earth are you doing?" And I find this story funny. I wouldn't stand on the word of God. I'm not going to put a Bible on the floor and stand on it. But in that moment, gripped with so much fear about her cancer diagnosis, she looked at her husband and she said, "I don't really know what to do right now, but I'm standing on the word of God." Hey, don't put your Bible on the floor today and don't stand on it. But in the midst of whatever you're facing, just in a spiritual sense, close your eyes and say, "I'm standing on the word of God. I'm standing on the promises of God. He loves me. He cares for me. He's with me. I've given my life to him. I can trust him. He's for us and not against us." Lift your hands today. They're going to lead us in worship. They're going to awaken the psaltery and harp. Why don't we awaken our praise today? Why don't we remind ourselves of who God is and what he's done? If you want to find a place of prayer, I want to invite you to find that place. Maybe to come to the front of the room and pray. Maybe to kneel right where you're at, reminding yourself that God's for us, that God's with us, that God cares for us. Come on, let's lift up our own voice today. Lord, thank you that you're with me. Thank you that you're for me, Lord.
I won't be overcome when I go through the rivers. I will not be drowned. My God will make a way, so I am not afraid.
Would you find somebody to pray with? If some of our ladies would gather around Sister Pugh, who's facing cancer, if some would extend your hand toward Brother and Sister Butler before they leave, if you'd pray for them today. There's needs all across this house. I want us to find someone to pray with. Some of our men gather around Brother Phil. Some of our ladies around Sister Paula, around Sister Pugh, around others that are facing needs here. The Lord's able. The Lord will see us through. The Lord's with us. He loves us. He cares for us. Come on, there's others praying here today. Join up with somebody. Join up with them. You've got a testimony of what God's done for you. God can do it for them. Come on, he's still a healer.